Today on Real Radio.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a lion. And he says in verse 9, resist him steadfast. How? In the faith. Stay in the faith. Stay in your Bible. Stay in fellowship. Walk with God and walk with God's people. Why? Because when you begin to cut those things loose from your Christian experience, you're no longer abiding in faith. You'll get weak. You'll get sickly. And the enemy will come by, and granted, he's not going to grab you by the neck and bite you and claw you up that way. He'll dangle temptations in front of your life to pull you away and kill you in a more violent way.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in its final chapter, chapter 6, and in a mini-series called The Christian in Complete Armor. Among believers, the verses we're looking at are a well-known section of the New Testament. Paul tells us to don the full armor of God. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Standing Against the Devil.
Way back in Ephesians 1, verse 3, the Bible tells us there that we are blessed, or blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And so from that point of chapter 1, verse 3, Paul argues the victory that is available to the Christian. And he took us through all of these various steps that deal with our lives and what we need to be victorious believers. And so now we come to chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in verse 10 down to verse 18. But tonight, specifically, we'll focus on verses 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of this darkness, of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, which with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And so tonight we're looking at standing against the devil as we come to verses 11 and 12. And so very, very important. Last week, we covered verse 10, and we asked these two questions. Who goes to battle in this Christian war? And we came to the conclusion that it's for every Christian. And the tragedy is that so many Christians are asleep. And especially in the realm that we're in, we have a tendency to look at the things of this life. We have predominantly a pretty comfortable life. We are not Christians and threatened with death tomorrow. It's though that we can leave this building tonight and not be shot at or to be stoned or to be burned alive like many people in the world today are suffering for Christ. And it's a tragedy, but yet the Bible warns us about persecutions. We live on the other side of the world to where our attacks do come from the enemy, from the flesh, and from the world around us, but they seem to be more subtle. And with that, there's a great danger. But we are a people who saw last week that every Christian, if we truly believe in God, are involved in this battle. Some of us need to wake up to the fact that we're in a battle. But who goes to war? every believer. We saw that in verse 10 when he said, "Finally, my brethren." That was last week's call to take up our arms and to stand ready against these satanic powers. And then also we saw about how do we fight this spiritual warfare. And we come out of our ring or out of our corner, so to speak, at the latter part of verse 10 with this being our foundation. Look what it says. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now remember, this is good news. We ended it last week by saying to you that Paul is not pointing his finger and saying, now, get strong, Christian. You know, suck it up. You think it's gotten tough? You just wait. Boy, is it going to get... You know, that's not what he's saying. You know, we're standing there going, oh, no. You know, he's saying, hey, listen, you guys, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You can stand strong behind the shield of God. You can rest in the everlasting arms of Jesus. As Christians, we don't come out there on the front lines and say, okay, enemy, you know, let me take you on there. Oh, no, we don't do that. We'll get our nose knocked off. We stand in the strength of the Lord, and we stand in the power of His might. It's all of His resources. And we mentioned how if you were to be maybe pulled over by a police officer, now you may not like that police officer, or you may know him. Maybe he can only bench 100 pounds off the bench press, and you're thinking, what's this guy pulling me over for? I could knock him out in a minute. Well, you might be able to do that. Maybe not. I don't know. That's not the point. The point is he's got a badge on his chest, and behind that badge stands the power of the state of California. That's a lot of power. And same is true for the Christian. We may be weak in and of ourselves, and the enemy might come up and say, I can blow you over. I can huff and I can puff, and you'll go run in the opposite direction. And that may be true. But the fact of the matter is, the power of God stands behind us, and we stand firm in Christ. And so we are to be strong in His might. We are to be powerful in His strength. And that's where we need to be fighting as Christians. And so tonight we come to this wonderful place of really learning some deeper things about the power of Satan and the power that God has given us. First of all, we need to realize that this war is a learning experience. And we will win, by the way. Remember, we've read the end of the book. We do win. And that's good news. Satan does lose, though he doesn't believe that. We'll see this tonight. But we will do better than survive. The Bible tells us we will be more than conquerors. And that's an exciting thing. And that's a noble thing. And we need to remember that as brothers and sisters. We need to encourage each other. We don't want to give up. We don't want to stop fighting. But sometimes we can become so shell-shocked that we need another brother or sister to come alongside and encourage us. But we will succeed. And God gives us the power and the know-how how to do this from the Word. I got to tell you, I saw an example of this. And the Lord ministers to me in weird ways. I think you already know that by now. But this morning, I went out into the kitchen, and our backyard looks out, and our window looks out into the backyard. So I was standing there, and from this one window, I can see, like, I don't know, about 160 degrees, you know, of the backyard. And so we have bird feeders out in the backyard, and there's a lot of birds in our backyard. And so this morning I walked out there, and there were all these birds feeding, and the bird feeders are in various parts of the yard. And so as I was watching, the birds didn't notice I was there, and neither did this cat that was out there. And this cat was looking at the bird feeder and all these birds hanging off of it. And you ever seen a cat? They go, he's all, and he looked like a little possessed cat, you know. He's like, oh, man. And I wondered what kind of lust was going through his mind. And he's looking at that bird feeder, and he jumps up, and he misses the whole thing, and the birds fly away. And then on the other side of the yard, there's some birds on the ground, and they're feeding from the grain that had fallen from the feeder on the other side of the yard. So the cat turns around, and he goes across the yard like this, and he is looking, and he's doing that, you know, ready to spring on them thing, and he takes off, and all these birds just fly away into the branches out of the reach of the cats. While on the other side of the yard, they descended back down, And this cat was going back and forth. And you know what? That cat versus those birds, there's no doubt about who's stronger, is there? No doubt whatsoever. There's no doubt about who's faster, who's meaner, who's more covert or subtle in their actions. But the little birds had the power to find a lodging in the trees and in the branches of the trees just by their wings, flapping their wings and getting out of the way. And you know, you might think, well, you know, that cat, it's hopeless for that cat to catch these birds. And you know, it's true. It is hopeless unless that cat does one of two things. Either catches a bird off guard, which that does happen now and then, or a bird is sick. And you know, we need to remember that. Because the Bible tells us that Satan is like a lion or a cat, roaming around seeking whom he may devour. And you know who he'll get? He'll get the sickly, and he'll get those who are not watching. And Jesus tells us, Christian, be on guard. Be watching always. And we need to be at that post. And in fact, you know, in Psalm 30, verse 26, the Bible says there that the conies are creatures of little power. That's the rock badger there in Israel. We got to see some of those on our last trip. The rock badger is a little, has a little power, yet they make their home among the crags of the rocks. And, you know, an eagle or a mountain lion can be waiting to catch a crony or a coney, and wanting to kill that thing. But yet, listen, this thing has no defense mechanism. It's like a big rat. It's like a big gopher. And this thing runs into the rocks, and that mountain lion can't get to it. Now, it doesn't matter how big that mountain lion is. It can't get to that little helpless coney, rock badger. And that coney becomes as strong as the rocks that it's hiding in. Those little birds become as safe as the branches are above the ground. And so the Bible tells us that we are hidden in Christ. Listen, in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, the Bible tells us that we are in the hands of God the Father and God the Son. And nobody is able to take us out of the hands of God. Nobody and nothing. So we need to be sure that we stay in those loving arms. And Satan will never be able to molest us as we are in Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a lion. And he says in verse 9, resist him steadfast. How? In the faith. Stay in the faith. Stay in your Bible. Stay in fellowship. Walk with God and walk with God's people. Why? Because when you begin to cut those things loose from your Christian experience, you're no longer abiding in faith. You'll get weak. You'll get sickly. And the enemy will come by, and granted, he's not going to grab you by the neck and bite you and claw you up that way. He'll dangle temptations in front of your life to pull you away and kill you in a more violent way. But remember, in Philippians 4:13, the Bible says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So let's look at the first point in verse 11 regarding the devil and how we fight and all. How are we to fight this spiritual battle? Verse 11, he says to us right here, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How do we fight this spiritual battle? He says, first of all, to put on the whole armor of God. Not half the armor, not three quarters of the armor. All of the armor. Put on the whole armor. The word whole armor or full armor is what the meaning. It's a word that means every bit of covering that's been provided. And in several weeks, we're going to go down that list of armor. And by the way, just a little tidbit up front. There's no armor exactly provided for the back end of the Christian soldier. His rear end is full on exposed out there. You want to know why? Because you never show your enemy your rear end. That's a good way to get it shot. The whole armament that God has given us is for advancing. We are to be very, very much on the offensive. A lot of Christians feel content to be on the defensive, just fighting and fighting. But hey, how about a few? Is there a few in this fellowship that would not be content with just being defensive? but being offensive. Doesn't that excite you? Don't you want to launch an attack and wage war?
Yes.
Against the kingdom of darkness and with the kingdom of light and see things happen? You know, every time, and so many, hundreds of you actually have gone on these short-term mission trips where you're going into the enemy's strongholds. But hey, what about the other outreaches? What about Tuesday nights? What about Thursday nights? What about the group of people here that go out and knock on doors to share the love of Jesus with people? Man, you're going right out there on the front lines. And I like that kind of stuff. And you might say, well, what if the enemy attacks us? Oh, we'll come to this in a moment. But what if? Let him pull back his swords and launch them and watch them bounce off as we stay in the Lord and stay in the faith. It's a wonderful thing. It's an exciting way to live. And I don't know if your life is boring at all. But if your life, if your Christianity is a little bit boring, hey, let's hang out together, okay? Let's go out on a Thursday night. Or let's go hand out some tracts down at the movie experience or something like that. And watch what happens. Man, all of a sudden your spiritual blood starts pumping and somebody will come up and say, you know what, do you have a Bible in your hand? Is that a Bible? Yeah, you know what, I've been thinking about killing myself. Can you tell me about life? Don't be surprised if that doesn't happen. Well, I don't believe it. Listen, have you ever done it? Go out there. Make yourself available and watch what happens. God will see to it. The Lord is looking for someone to go on the offensive and to take the word out there and stand on the edge and say, hey, will anyone come and follow Christ? And people are looking. Hey, how many of us were teens? Man, when I was a teenager, so much of my peer pressure that was coming upon my life, I wish there was somebody respectable or influential that was going the right way. I would have went. I didn't even know anything about God. I just knew that the direction I was heading was wrong. And if somebody would have stood up and said, hey, we're Christians on campus, or whatever the thing might have been, man, I would have rallied to that. I was looking for a Savior. And you stand on the edge and people will come, but also people will throw stones. But that comes with it, and that's a great thing. But you put on the whole armor of God for this. And so when he says put on, this is a wonderful word. The word put on means to don the right clothing, to put on the right clothes, to be arrayed in the appropriate attire. Now, you don't go to war with your bathing suit on. You don't go traipsing through the jungles with thongs on, you know, and a surfboard in your hand. No, dude, let's go to war, man. No, you know what? You get dressed for it, and you prepare yourself. So when he says put on the whole armor of God, he is calling every Christian to don the armor of God. And so this means it's not an option. Yeah, I know you might be sitting here now going, well, you know, this is kind of cute. That's great for those people that are pastors and evangelists. And he's not talking to pastors and evangelists. He's talking to all of us to put our armor on. He said in verse 10, hey, you Christians, put your armor on. And this is done by seriously applying the matters of the spiritual life, by praying, by worshiping, by being mindful of the Word of God. That will keep us away from the fleshly weapons, because that will do no good. And be careful about how you view sin. Jesus warns us, and the Bible warns us. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, so the Lord said to Cain, remember this story? The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, Cain? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at your door, and its desire is to rule over you, but you should rule over it. Remember Cain? This is just before, and this was God's warning to Cain. Cain was all jealous about his brother. He wanted to kill him. And God says to Cain, hey, why don't you do good? And watch it, Cain, because at your door, sin is waiting, like a cat prowling. But there's a key verse, or there's a key statement that God makes in Genesis, and he says, Cain, you should rule over sin. Sin shouldn't rule over you. But what happened to Cain? The envy kept going and going and seething inside of him against his brother. And when he thought nobody was looking, God was looking, and he killed his brother. Sin took control of Cain. In Romans chapter 13, verse 12, Paul says, "The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in revelry or in drunkenness, not in the lewdness of the and lust, not in strife or in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no opportunity any longer for the flesh to fulfill its lust." So you put off the old man. Remember the old man? This is such a radical revelation for the new Christian. The Bible says, "Come to Christ and we'll be a new creation in Christ," right? "Behold, all things are done away and we're new." So we think, that's great. You know, all these old things are gone. No, there's been a stake drive through the old man's heart, our old desires, but every day that guy's got to have another stake ran through him. Have you noticed that? Because boy, if we let our minds go, or if we're not in the Word, you know what happens? That creep resurrects himself. And you know it. You start thinking the old way. You start doing the old thing. And you think, well, I thought I was over this. No, you're in a war. And the way you keep the old man in the ground, naked and dead, is by taking off his clothes and putting Christ on you. And keeping that old man so held down that he can't do anything. And God has provided that power by the Holy Spirit in our lives, if we'll choose today to put on Christ. So put on the whole armor of God. And it begins by, first of all, putting on Christ. That is, coming to Christ and walking in the Spirit. And the Bible says we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Colossians 3, verse 9, the Bible says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him." Put on the new man. Listen, we need to be responsible to put on our armor. He's telling us to put it on. I can't put your armor on for you, and you can't put it on for me. It'd be nice if we could call each other and say, "Remember to put your armor on," but we could only remind you, and you could only remind me. This is a mandate given to the Christian. And I want to ask you tonight, what are you doing to put your armor on every day? We're not going to make it if we're not putting our armor on. We're going to lose. Yeah, we'll make it to heaven, but we won't have any success in our Christian walk. The enemy will seek to bind us up. So we need to be responsible to put on the whole armor of God. The next thing is that we need to be resisting the tricks of the enemy. Look at verse 11 again. "That you may be able to stand against the wiles of Satan himself." The word "against," it's going to appear many times in this short study. To stand against. The word "against" means to ward off or to build a wall. To keep the enemy out. To dig in and to be entrenched against one's enemies.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called "Standing Against the Devil," part of a mini-series taken from Ephesians 6 and verses 10 through 18 called "The Christian in Complete Armor." We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. Remember, our task here at Real Radio is to equip you with all that is necessary for your Christian experience. So this is a reminder that if you were unable to make it to the recent Southern California Prophecy Conference here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, well, we're making available its materials. Visit us at realradioactive.org and learn how to get them. realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight. Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.